Hello, I'm Shalom.
And I'm Courtney, and this is Almost Nerdy. We love sci-fi, we love fantasy, we love all things nerdy.
And we are about to spoil this for you, so make sure you've already watched it. Hey guys, welcome back to Almost Nerdy.
We are talking about WandaVision this week.
WandaVision. And this is not part of a series. We're just vibing this summer.
Yeah.
Catching up on popular shows, stuff that's going on. Mm-hmm.
And some movies too.
And WandaVision is definitely one that we did not want to pass over. So.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I cannot even tell you how many times I've watched WandaVision. Like, I'm a little worried that we're going to get an email from Disney Plus that is like, are you okay? Do you need therapy?
Do you need help? Do you need us to help you process something?
Yeah, like, you've been watching WandaVision way too much for the normal human being. This show is just so unique. Mm-hmm. And so catchy. Mm-hmm. And it's just such an easy watch.
Such an easy watch, yeah.
Like, I can't even handle this show. Yeah. I love it. It's one of those things. Shalom and I, during the pandemic, really took up cooking and baking. Well, I've always liked baking, but like I really like dug into it. Mm-hmm. And WandaVision is just something that, like, when I'm cooking or baking, like, I just have it on in the background because I just love it. It's so endearing. Yeah. It's just such a cute story.
It is. I mean, it's a deep story. It's a sad story.
It's a sad story. Yeah. But it's cute and it's deep. And I just love it.
Yeah. There's just so much to take from it. And I loved it because it was different. I love the fact that it was, like, a show that I could literally be like, wow, we're going through Marvel, and we just had a super intense phase where we had Infinity War, Endgame, right? And then we had Far From Home, which was sort of intense. And so it's like, okay, we need a break. We need something just to chill out. We need to transition to the next phase. We have lost a bunch of people that are either died, you know, Black Widow and so forth. And we've also, you know, we've new things happening, like Falcon is now Captain America, and so forth, and WandaVision becomes Scarlet Witch, Wanda becomes Scarlet Witch, and that's something that needed time to us just settle in. So I loved it. Like, I loved the first few episodes. I know a bunch of people were kind of weirded out by it.
I'm like,
no, this is amazing. It's such a switch in pacing, and the way they then ramped up to the final moments with, you know, it was Agatha all along.
Yeah.
Really well done.
Yeah. I think I want to take a quick break and then we can really dive into this.
Mm-hmm. All right. Welcome back.
Yes. So before the break, we were just kind of talking about how unique this show is. Mm-hmm. And I think Shalom and I obviously love movies, TV series, things like that. And as someone who has often thought about what it would be like if my life was a sitcom or if I did live in a movie, like, I just feel like this really captured my heart. And the other thing that I really liked about it is I feel like it really humanized these characters that we love. To be honest, both Wanda and Vision have not had a ton of screen time.
Right.
They haven't. And then we get other fun characters like Darcy and Jimmy Woo, again, who hadn't had much screen time in the past, but they're all phenomenal actors.
Yes.
So I feel like they really got this stage to play. And and honestly, I really felt like we saw Paul Bettany and Elizabeth Olsen's range here.
Right.
Because they not only had to play their superhero characters, but they also had to do the kind of, like, what's a physical comedy of, like, of what you saw in the 50s and 60s, a lot more, like, physical comedy. You know, they had to do that and those, like, corny jokes. And they actually filmed them exactly like they were filmed back then. Like they were on a set in front of a live audience, which I was like, wow, the commitment to like authenticity is out of control here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like that's insane.
Yeah, it was super like
it's just different.
Wild, yeah.
It was just so different.
Yeah.
And I think the whole time, you know, the whole time you also have that mystery of like what's happening here. Mm-hmm. Like you get these like little these cute little like breadcrumbs, I guess you could call them. Like you get these little breadcrumbs,
the ads and so forth. Mm-hmm,
the ads. You had like the little helicopter show up, like
right.
You kept seeing the sword symbol, and you're like, "What is happening here? Like, what's going on?" So yeah, I definitely really enjoyed it. I think a lot of fans probably went a little too far with the mystery of it.
Way too far. I think people just got excited.
They just but also people
kind of were struggling with, I think people struggled with the idea of a woman being a lead character. You know, there was a lot of sexism. And that is something that we saw so much of. And you hear even in the writing process, they saw that. They almost went in the direction that people wanted, but they decided against it because they were like, they said, oh, we thought of having Doctor Strange show up, but that would have just reinforced sexism for days, you know, and people would come up with all sorts of predictions. And in the end, it was Agatha all along, you know, and that was awesome. That was well done, well executed.
But even so, it really wasn't Agatha. I think people were really struggling with this idea of Wanda being her own superhero and her own like person, because they really had not gone far into Scarlet Witch.
Mm-hmm.
They were really just at surface level Wanda Maximoff. Like that's where they were.
Right.
And they didn't really dive into a lot of her powers.
Exactly.
And how strong she is. Like
exactly.
She's a Nexus being. Like she's freaking baller.
Exactly.
Like baller. Like my brother was over recently, and we love these Marvel Ultimate Alliance video games.
Yeah.
And so we've played all of them, and this was the third one. Mm. And I played Scarlet Witch the whole time, and she's literally sitting there going, like, Chaos Unleashed!
Yeah.
Like, so she does, like, in, obviously in the comics, they talk a lot about chaos magic and, like, that energy. But, like, we hadn't seen that until here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really glad that they gave her that power, and they didn't have any like man come in to save her. There was like there was nothing like that at all. And I really, really like that, because there were also people who were like, oh, Reed Richards is gonna show up. Like there were so I also think that Paul Bettany did that though.
I think he trolled them on purpose. I think people deserve to be trolled. He did.
I don't think he did it on purpose. He just thought it was funny.
Yeah. You know, I mean like he was trolling. He was trolling. Because people were just saying all kinds of stuff.
That's true.
And I think he leaned into it a bit, and he thought it was funny to do that.
The specific comment was.
Right, was to say that he was going to have a scene with an actor that he's never worked with before, and he's super excited. And people went wild. Speculation for days. And basically, in the end, like, it was him, because he was acting White Vision. I found it so hilarious. I loved it. It was just interesting to see all these creators on TikTok kind of like try and explain how wrong they were to fans. Oh. You know, because they really went overboard. They really went overboard with a lot of their predictions. Like, we think it's Mephisto. We think it's this. And
if I hear Mephisto one more time,
oh my gosh.
I'm going to lose my ish.
I'm going to just freak out. I forgot. So that's just something that...
And it was getting crazy. Like, people were being like, the curtains in the background are shaped like an M in this scene. Do you see in... Oh, my gosh. Tyler, in Tyler's office, there's the, like, in the hexagon shape, like, the pictures. Like, people were taking the mystery too far. Like, they were taking it way, way too far. Like,
everything was Mephisto.
Everything was Mephisto. This movie, though, or show, I should say.
Mm.
I mean, they gave us Agatha.
Mm-hmm.
Great character. They gave us Monica Rambeau
mm-hmm.
as an adult.
Oh, my gosh. Loved her.
Loved her. Mm-hmm. Loved her. And the funny thing is, I was listening to an interview with, I think it's Tayana. I think that's how you say her name. Tayana. And she was talking about how she didn't even know that she was auditioning for the role.
Yeah.
Of Monica Rambeau. Right. They told her she needed to come in and they wanted to see her like really like act up, like act like very like goofy, really ham it up. Mm. And so she nailed it, obviously. Mm. And that was because of the 70s episode where she had to have that whole scene. So they needed to make sure that she could do that. But I was like, ugh, I'm so excited for her. And now they have officially named Captain Marvel 2 the Marvels.
Right.
Because there's a lot of people out there who are like pretty angry that like they gave, because technically in the comics, I forget what's her name, Photon.
Photon, I think.
Yeah. Photon was the original Captain Marvel, not Carol Danvers. Mm. So a lot of people were like, oh, that's so racist that like you have Captain Marvel be this Captain Marvel first, and like I think Brie Larson's like, you're right.
Brie Larson is amazing. She's so good. Her ability to invite people is incredible. Mm-hmm. Coming back to Photon though, like her introduction, the superhero landing as well. Mm. There these little things that she just did that just were like such great, like, oh my gosh, we saw an origin story.
Yes.
Within an origin story, because in a sense we're seeing Scarlet Witch's origin story. So it's like origin story within origin story, and we can't talk about WandaVision without talking about Wu. Like that was just like
Jimmy Wu
is just like solid. Like it was like really, he just added this element, right? This element that was just so,
I think, I love him.
Comforting a little bit, you know, because it's such an intense show and you needed someone like that to just be like this buffer, to just like bring this goofiness, getting coffee and stuff like that.
Well, I also loved him because he was such a good pairing with Darcy and Monica.
Yeah.
And he's supportive. Mm. Like he understands like those are two powerful women and like these are their strengths and this is how I'm going to compliment them.
Right.
Like weren't there all those memes that were like Jimmy Woo, most woke in the MCU, like something like that.
Right.
Because he was sitting there and he would be like, I love that one briefing with Tyler when he's like explaining who Wanda is. Mm. And Tyler's like, he's like, yeah. And then she gets radicalized and like fought the Avengers. And Jimmy was like, yeah, that's like really oversimplifying the situation.
Yeah.
Like, especially because in Ultron, in Age of Ultron, we actually have that whole scene where Captain America talks about the fact that, like, that's literally what he did to fight the Nazis.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was experimented on.
Yeah.
By a German scientist.
Yeah.
In order to...
Yeah.
And it's almost the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, he had super serum, but...
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
You know?
It was such a, like, kind of... Like, yeah, I think Jimmy Woo understands the circumstances around. And I think him also being around Scott... Kind of helped a little bit because he's so Scott with his family so you start to think differently of people because I mean Scott was kind of like a fugitive,
yeah,
you know, and or he became a fugitive briefly, you know, and that's something that Jimmy Woo got to experience Scott very differently. It wasn't just like the lies that were like that's a bad person, you know, and I think that was really cool. To then see those lessons translate to his whole approach when it comes to Wanda. And I think that's something that it just shows Disney's consistency in story, in character development. Disney is just like slash Marvel.
I was gonna say specifically the Disney Marvel.
You know, basically, they've really, really been so good at character development and character growth. You know, I mean, it's not the craziest, like, character development, like, that you see in, you know, in you know, movies that you see on at the Oscars or anything like that. Well, it wasn't on that level per se, but it was definitely, you can see the story, a person's story develop. You can see the connections, you see the inspiration. That little moment when he does the card trick, you know? Like, yes, you see those that, influences.
I thought that was so clever.
Right,
because,
right.
Like, that was such a key moment within Ant-Man and the Wasp. Mm-hmm. And then, like, to see mm-hmm. him, I was like, oh, Jimmy, well, I'm so proud of you. And then Darcy is finally a doctor at this point.
Yeah.
And, like, at first I thought they were just, like, they were just going, like, the feminist route when, like, they have the one soldier be like, I think Lewis, is that her last name, Lewis? Miss Lewis, come this way. And she was like, actually, it's doctor. Yeah. But I was like, I totally forgot she was an intern. She was in school in the Thor movies. Mm. So they actually had to show that she has become a doctor.
She's progressed.
She's progressed. Mm-hmm. Darcy. So good. That's my, like, actor who I look like. Mm-hmm. That's her.
That's true. That's like, true. Personality. Everything.
Everything. I want to be her for Halloween. I don't know. I'm so torn this year because there's so much good Marvel content out there that I'm like, maybe we should be Falcon Winter Soldier. Maybe I should be Wanda in her Halloween costume. Maybe I should be Darcy, but specifically when Darcy gets into the hex and in the, like, has the chains around her, that part.
Yeah.
In her circus outfit. I don't know. There's too many outfits to think about.
Have fun in prison.
She's so cute.
I loved her presence in the show. Just so many great moments that she created. Mm-hmm. And I love when she's trying to be friendly and the one guy is being like, has a stick up his butt and she's like, I'm a this and what are you? And then he kind of ignores her and then other people start talking and then he goes, I'm this, and she's like, no one cares. She's just so, you know, she's very vindictive. Mm-hmm. So she'll be like, oh, I'm not forgiving. I'm not letting you go. Like, even though if you change your mind. And I really like the presence of women in this show. I think that was something that there was lots of intention around it. Did you feel the same way? Like, I mean,
you can clearly tell that there were a lot of women writing on this show. Like, a lot. I mean, if you look at the list, there's a lot of writers. But basically, like, the main creator was Jacqueline. Mm-hmm. And she wrote on every part, but then there was lots of, like, other writers who worked on it with her, but she was the main writer. And she had, like, a big influence. And then the director, although he's a man, he actually has worked on a lot of sitcoms, which I think was really important for this because this wasn't just this. I mean, look at how many genres they hit of sitcoms.
Oh my gosh, so many.
And they shot them like sitcoms, which I thought was very impressive. Yes. Until we hit the end, and I love the variety of women that we get in here. Mm. We've got Monica, we've got Agatha, we've got even Dottie, a different personality.
Right.
Like, there's so many personalities in here. I feel like you hit so many things. And the other thing that I really liked about it is that although it's all about Vision, it's not in, like, a weird way. Like, it's so genuine. It's such a genuine love and grief. That it doesn't feel like sappy or like weird romance. Like,
yeah, because in a sense it's not about Vision. I think in a sense, in a bigger sense, it's about a grief, constant grief.
It's grief
from the time she's a kid.
Yes,
she just has piles and piles and piles and piles of loss, and I think that's something that they captured really well. It doesn't feel like she's. I'll give a contrast, right? You know, Wonder Woman, right? Wonder Woman.
Yes.
19.
We blocked, like, that from our memory.
Basically, like, literally, she looks. That's a sad situation to the point of, you know, using another man's body for her lover's spirit.
Sorry if you haven't watched Wonder Woman 1984. Like, don't watch it. It was bad.
Yeah, if you haven't watched it, I mean, it's been long. But anyways, don't waste your time. But, like, really, at the end of the day, that movie was so weird. And you don't see that same thing. And even the way the movie ends, you know, Wonder Woman kind of lands on that, like, kind of like, you know, self-belief and determination and self-actualization and so forth. But I think the journey of Wanda Vision, of like Wanda's journey, bringing it into it and a sense of evolution.
Yes.
She evolves in the end into a whole new character, like, that we're so excited to see, a powerful character, more powerful than, I mean, I've been engaged in debates about who's the strongest in, like, who's the most powerful in Marvel Universe. And Wanda is clearly the most powerful. You know, you also have Captain Marvel, who is definitely the strongest.
Yeah.
And so, but, like, you know, people going like, oh no, but Doctor Strange is stronger. He's stronger.
But he's not.
And they literally say it. She runs laps around. She can astral project whilst walking around. She doesn't pass out. And that is phenomenal. That was just like next level stuff. And that Doctor Strange cannot do that. And I think that is something that I love, that they did it, and it makes their decision to not have Doctor Strange in there mean so much more. Yeah.
One of the other things that I wanted to point out is I like what they're doing in, specifically in this phase, as we're hitting like Falcon Winter Soldier, Loki, like, and this one, and WandaVision, is that we are getting such a good view of what things are like after the blip. Like, we're getting such a good view. Like, honestly, like, nothing was more real to me. Well, no, there's two scenes that were very real. The scene when Monica comes, when we see her get undusted. And then in Falcon Winter Soldier, when they're talking about the GRC. And then it switches to them, like, the brute force, basically. Like, the police, like, kicking people out of settlement camps. That scene, like, those were so jarring compared to the rest. Like, I think it really just, like, put things into perspective of, like, what the blip did.
Yep.
And, like, what it means. And so that was something that I really liked. And then, yeah, I just love that they chose for Wanda's story. Like, we're going to make this fun because, honestly, like, she has a pretty depressing life.
She does.
She's a pretty depressing life. But, like, we're gonna make fun, and we're gonna like let her have a little bit of joy, and and I really liked that they chose that, like, the power came from her, but it was not an evil intent, it was an accident. Liked that. I liked that, like, she didn't know that she had the power, like, because Scarlet Witch in some versions is a villain, like, she is supposed to be a villain. So I like that they're kind of playing this line of, like, in the end, like, I do think that the people of the town probably will always view her as a villain because, like, she did take them hostage, even if it was an accident.
She didn't know that that's what she was doing.
She didn't know that's what she was doing. Like, she just, like, having the deed to the house and, like, the little heart from Vision, like,
That's heartbreaking. Oof. That's heartbreaking.
That's hard.
Yeah.
That's a hard scene to watch.
Yeah. And I like what you said about how they basically wanted to have fun. And then they didn't just do that. They inserted that into her personality. The fact that she found sitcoms as her way to escape from reality.
Yeah.
And that's something that... And the fact that that's what she does. She creates a sitcom. You know? I remember when I was younger... So I was a third child, and my little brother was born like way later than me. And there was a time when I was just by myself. My siblings would go to school, and one of the things that I did was I would basically like watch, like, I love Samurai X, you know, Kenshin Nomura. Like, I loved it. Like, I probably need to rewatch the whole show again. But it was so good. It was so engaging for me. I identified with the characters. I was all about that. But one of the things I did was, after watching a scene or a bunch of episodes, I would go outside and react react the whole thing
yeah.
with myself in the story. And
yeah.
and eventually I started telling my own stories, right? And started like kind of like entertaining myself that way.
Yeah.
You know, some of my you know, like my parents, like my mom or some of my siblings or people we stayed with would find that so amusing. Though, like sometimes they would hide behind a bend of corner and be like, who the heck is he talking to? And because that's I was cute. Just like act it out, because for me that was my thing about my escape. And I can imagine Wanda doing that to herself, like her magic doing that.
Yeah.
Like, just when she's in so much pain, she just cannot deal anymore. And then her magic creates an alternate reality, mm-hmm. basically. And I really thought that was such a clever concept. It's brilliant. Mm-hmm. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
So I love thinking about this. If you were a Wanda and you could create from like your yeah. shows. Like they don't have to be sitcoms. Yeah. Like what do you think they would be?
100% anime.
It would only be 100%. Anime?
Yeah. I mean now I'm into Naruto.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I think I'll be Naruto, underestimated samurai, like ninja who goes with different like different tutors and he learns and comes back, is more powerful. People are shocked, like, what amazing powers. Yeah. I'll definitely do
that. It would only be that show. That's it. It wouldn't change.
I don't think it would. I'm all about that. And I love ramen.
I feel like mine would be so weird, because you would have like, I'm trying to think of like what, like going from like my childhood up, because it's like I loved Secret Garden. Like that would, yeah. That's like a fantasy of mine, like huge manor, like with a secret garden. Love it. So there would be that. And then, then the vampires would come in. We'd be Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Obviously. Done. Sold. Next, Harry Potter, I'm fighting Voldemort. Like, I don't know. I don't know what, like, and then probably, like, some weird, like, rom-com thrown in there. I don't know. Like, I just feel like that's who I am.
So, like, add a little bit of Parks and Rec, a little bit
of The Office. Oh, yes, and then definitely Parks and Rec, because Leslie Knope, like, Leslie Knope gets me. Like, right. I love her. I love her. So, yeah, I think that's, like, oh, and then Beauty and the Beast, obviously. So, those would be my five.
That's cool. I like.
It's so random.
It's wild. It's wild, but I like it.
It would be a wild journey with me. I'm gonna add to mine.
Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
Oh.
I'll definitely add Lord of the Rings, because I'm a hobbit. I'm a hobbit at heart. I don't like people. You know, I just want to stay at home, smoke my cigar. You know.
I love the elves.
The elves.
Actually, if you've listened to our Lord of the Rings. If you've listened to that,
Courtney's all about the elves.
I love elves.
Yeah. So. I am a hobbit.
No
adventures, elves. Thank you very much.
I would not like an adventure. Thank you very much. Anyway, are there any scenes that like particularly like stuck out to you from WandaVision?
To be honest with you, like one of the things, the complexity of the situation really, really hit me hard, because thinking about Wanda and what she's going through in that moment, the grief she's going through, and she's figuring out that she's the one doing these things. And what's at the same time, she's going like, she's almost justifying it, but she's at a disadvantage because she's not fully aware of what she's doing.
Exactly.
And I think that is something that hits me about, like, she is such a realistic personality. You hear, like, I've heard some people complain about what she did and so forth. And then you hear, like, Tony Stark, you know, people want to defend Tony Stark for what everything he did. Wanda is just not on the same level. She's not. She was grieving. She's going through stuff. And then she went through, like, a moment of just her mental health went into crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And her magic acted out.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't intentional what she was doing.
Yeah.
And so when she finally realized, oh my gosh, I have a grasp of this. I'm the one who's doing this. I'm the one who's in charge here. She she literally, like, she frees people. And I think that's something that that hits me hard every time, to realize that her grief led it into, like, mental crisis, like, mental health crisis. And yeah, it messed her up. It messed her up. Like, I feel for her. Mm-hmm. I feel for her. That's just something that I think about quite often. And also, you know, I loved the ship of Theseus. And I thought that was really cool. It made me really think. I was like, hey, that's a good question. If I change all my car parts, so if I change all the parts of my Subaru, is it the same Subaru? Is it different? And then seeing Vision restore White Vision's memories.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, I think there is something. I think that chaos is phase five. I think phase five is going to be so much chaos. People are not ready. People, like, I saw a post today that said someone was like, basically phase four is ending with the Fantastic Four.
Uh-huh.
And people are like, why are we not having a Marvel movie for Phase 4? Like, fans just go crazy.
No Avengers.
Right, no Avengers movie.
Yeah, they're not calling for
any Avengers. And people are just like, this guy was just like disappointed or whatever. And I'm like, you're ridiculous. But anyway, it's like, I'm like, you are not ready for where everything is going. You're not ready. The fact that you have the multiverse getting restored or whatever, right? Like, you know,
what's happening
with Loki right now. Because Loki is said to be the most, like, most...
That's going like, to touch everything.
Right, influence everything that happens moving forward. And so in my mind, I'm like, we are not ready for the madness that is coming. And if you know Marvel, if you know 616, all those different versions, it's nuts. Marvel Universe is nuts. It's crazy. You know, people make it look like this soft thing. It's far from soft. And I think that's something that we are not ready for. And so I kind of appreciate this phase where it's like, you know, you've got Falcon Winter Soldier, it's figuring stuff out. Then you go WandaVision. And I just love the fact that she is figuring stuff out and she's working stuff out because, and then she actually gets an upgrade in her weaponry because whatever's coming next is insane. It's gonna need her to be at her strongest.
Yeah.
It's gonna make Thanos, like, literally, we saw the Eternals thing, and literally they're going like, yeah, we didn't want to get involved.
Yeah, until, Thanos wasn't enough.
Until now. Like, and it's like, guys, you don't understand. What's coming next is insane. And so that's just something that I think about, like, knowing that you're going to have Vision, knowing that you're going to have all these characters, and they're getting souped up, like, upgrades and so forth, because we have some really cool stuff coming up, and I can't wait. I can't wait.
I have a couple scenes that just, like, really stick out for me.
Yeah.
First of all, I love the end of the 80s episode. I love it. I just thought it was so creative when the credits started rolling, because they start fighting. Yeah. And I'm like, yes, I want that in real life. Mm-hmm. It's time for the credits to roll. We're fighting. Nope, not doing that right now. Let's roll the credits. Like, I'm done.
You don't decide that for me, Wanda. Oh, my gosh. Someone
loves the way he delivers that line.
Yeah, the way he pauses, like,
yeah,
for me. I was like, whoa, that's emotion. I was like, that's emotion.
That's emotion. Yeah. That scene makes me have so many feelings. Like, yeah. I'm getting goosebumps right now just thinking about it.
And the
it,
way
like,
they just set to... And like, then, like, to levitate.
I cannot handle that scene. I love it so much. I, like, freaking love that scene so much. I also really, really love the magic show. Paul Bettany is so funny. He's so funny.
He got to really shine. Like, his goofy side really got to come out. And
I forgot how funny he is. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally forgot how funny he is.
Yeah. He really came through. Yes. Really, because I, my first experience with Paul Bettany was in
A Knight's Tale?
A Knight's Tale.
Yes, he's and very he's funny.
He's announcing, he's like, you know, ladies and gentlemen, this man, the fire, the stone, the knight, the, you know, like, and the way he just does his thing was just like so hilarious. We'll probably need to watch that again. That's a really good movie. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that, like, seeing him really embrace that side a little bit more was really cool.
I also really, really love, I love the, like, early 2000s one. That's, like, the mockumentary style. I thought that one, Wanda's unraveling in that one. I just thought Elizabeth, like, Elizabeth Olsen, like, killed that one, right?
She did.
Like,
she
just,
did.
She played that part so well. Like, I just really, I love, love the part where she's like, I'm beginning to think that nothing matters. Like, and the kids are like, the kids are like, and she's like, there was this meme that was like millennials talking to Gen Z, and I was like,
so I'm beginning to think
that nothing matters. I love that, and honestly, I love the whole, I love the entire episode where they go. I think it's episode 8 where they go through her whole, like, her whole life. And we really, I really felt like we got to actually know Wanda. Like, and I felt that way about Falcon and Winter Soldier as well. Like, I feel like I hadn't really had a reason to love Sam and Bucky. Like, we liked them because they were associated with Captain America, right? They were, they were associated with, I should say, Steve Rogers. They were associated with Steve Rogers. And therefore, we liked them because Steve told us we love them, you know? And I feel that way about Wanda. Like we like Wanda because she's an Avenger. Like, you know, she's part of that group.
Right.
She helped kill, like, she helped, like, defeat Ultron. Actually, she went pretty dark in that one.
Mm-hmm.
She really murdered Ultron.
Yeah.
That was scary.
Yeah.
But, you know, we like her.
Mm-hmm.
We like her. So it's like, and Vision loves her. And, like, you know that story's there. But it's like we didn't have a reason to love her until now, until she got her series and
to really
she got
say
her
like
story.
She's established.
Yes, like
in this thing.
And you know what? Like there was someone who posted this thing that was like, all the white girls this Halloween are gonna be wearing this costume, and it's from the Halloween episode where she's in her like Scarlet, old school Scarlet Witch outfit, and I'm just like, you know what? Who cares? Like, if women feel like they can identify with her and that's the outfit want to wear, like, what do you care?
Right.
Like, what do you care? What does it matter? Like, if anything, that means that Marvel is doing their freaking job.
Mm-hmm.
They're creating characters exactly like how Stan Lee said. He said that he wanted characters that were relatable. That's why he loves Spider-Man. That's why he loved creating Spider-Man, is because he picked someone who he created a character that he felt like kids could relate to. And that was his thing. He always wanted to keep his stories human.
He would have been very proud of the work that they've done so far.
He would have been so proud. Yeah. I think he would have loved this series.
Yeah.
Because it made Wanda so relatable. Like, even though she's like a super BA, like, Scarlet Witch now, like, she's still, you know, you can still relate to her. Like, she just freaking wants to go home and watch TV. You know what I mean?
She just wants to watch TV, yeah.
With her husband.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's what she wants to do. And, like, have a family. And it's, like, that is just so relatable. And I really, really enjoyed that about this. And I think one of the other things that I liked is, because this was so unique, I feel like it did get, like, a lot of hype, and there were a lot of interviews being shown with Elizabeth Olsen. And there was one from like a couple years ago where someone asked, like, what is something that you would love Marvel to do with your character? And she was talking about House of M, which is what most of the story is based off of.
Yeah.
And she was like, I really just like that she goes crazy and just wants to find her children. And I was like, how cool is it? You know, how cool is it that that's something that she wanted? And like, they made it happen for her.
Yeah. You know? I think that's why Disney is so, like, Marvel is so successful at what they do. They lean into who the people are. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked last week about Anthony Mackie and how they leaned into Anthony Mackie.
Huh? Anthony.
Anthony, sorry. Anthony Mackie. And they leaned into him mm-hmm. in such a, to the point that they made his home's, like, place.
Yes.
Like
he's actually from Louisiana.
Right, like from Louisiana. And you get an authentic experience, mm-hmm. like the fishing and all of that. It's so, as a black person who's from Africa, you know, I've mostly known West Coast, East Coast, mm-hmm. right? I've mostly known, like, you got, like, you had Tupac and you're Biggie. And the cultures are like this. This is how the cultures grew and evolved over the years, right? You don't really get to see a lot of, like, hey, welcome to the South. This like, we're doing, like, how black people rock out in the South. That's why we love High on the Hog, because it really, like, touches on that. And
yeah.
Love that show because it's incredible. And also love Falcon Winter Soldier because they take it to Louisiana. You mm-hmm. see community. Them hanging out by the sea.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've just never seen scenes like that. Like, I've literally never seen scenes of black people in... Black Americans in boats, like actually making a living off boats in America. Like, and so that's something that Marvel just does so well in leaning in on Elizabeth Olsen and her personality and who she is, leaning into Anthony Mackie, leaning into, you know, what we're watching right now with Tom Hiddleston and seeing them, like, you so literally see these, right? You see all of that really being pieced together into these masterpieces mm-hmm. of shows that just bring out their personalities. And mm-hmm. I just love what they're doing.
Well, I mean,
Kevin Feige is insane.
That's literally, I mean, they started that with casting Robert Downey Jr. as Tony exactly. Stark. Mm-hmm. Like, he is Tony Stark.
Right, he is.
You know, like, literally. It's an exaggerated version of himself, Tony Stark.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, like, that's who he is.
Yeah.
And that's why I was so surprised when they casted Chris Evans for Captain America, because, honestly, Chris Evans usually plays douchey guys.
Yeah.
I'd never seen that. But apparently he's, like, I mean, in real life, he's, like, a super nice guy. He just likes playing douchey guys.
Yeah. What's funny is right after Endgame, he went back to Knives Out,
where he's like a douchey guy. I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, Chris Evans, you're wild.
Right. Yeah, that was interesting.
So I feel like we can't end this episode without talking about the music.
The music.
Because I think, you couldn't go a week on TikTok without mm-hmm. there being a million TikToks mm-hmm. about the music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, each mm-hmm. song was a banger. Like,
right.
I mean... It's the writers who did Frozen.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same, which Frozen has amazing music. There's no denying
right.
that. Like, both movies. Amazing
both movies.
Music.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite? I guess is my answer, is my question. It's hard, right?
I mean, WandaVision. Like, that one kind of just, and Agatha, it was Agatha all along. Like, those two songs are like, for me, are the two hits. The other ones, I like them. I like, they're very, like, they're comforting to me. I hear them. I'm like, oh, that's so nice. WandaVision is one of those, like you know, from Inside Out, like, that one song that just, like, they send over.
Yes.
Like,
the
like intrusive memory. Right. Like, that's one of those things that just pops in my head. I'm like, WandaVision. Or it was like the, oh, no, no, I think that definitely, those two are my top ones from that series. Yeah.
I don't know if I can pick a favorite.
Okay.
I don't know. I love them all for different reasons.
Yeah.
Like, I love them all for different reasons. I have to say, though, this one surprised me. The more I think about the 80s episode, the more I love that theme song.
How does it go again?
So beautiful.
Na, 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 na,
no, no, you're. I think you're doing the 70s episode.
70s?
Yeah.
Which one's the 80s?
70s episode is cute, too.
Yeah, which one is the 80s?
The 80s is the one where they're like talking about like needing each other, and they go through all of the photos.
Oh yeah,
of the family, and that's when they show the photo of Baby Vision, which I literally had to pause the show because I couldn't handle what I was seeing on the TV.
It's a little concerning.
I liked it. I was like, he's a baby. I was literally born yesterday. That's one of my favorite Vision lines.
Yeah.
My favorite Vision line. Yeah, that one's really sweet. I really love that one. But I think as far as like songs that get stuck in my head, I would say same too. Those two get, well, actually the very first episode gets stuck in my head a lot too. I just love the lines in that one because they're like, it's a perfectly normal husband and wife.
It's my husband and he's just indestructible head.
That part always makes me sad. I'm like, yeah. It's not indestructible. It's not. Literally crying.
Turlos, my mind's on Turlos, and he's like, no. His eye is not okay. That eye is gone. No.
I have to say, the one of the like hardest things about the show is that like you're rooting for Wanda the whole time, right? Because like obviously you love her and you love how much she loves Vision, but you're also sitting there and you're like, for the love of all that is good, please tell me you did not reanimate your dead husband. Like, please tell me you did not
reanimate. That would be
like,
weird.
No, it was, I was literally like, I think it's the end of episode 4 or 5.
Right.
When Vision comes into the room.
Right.
And he's like dead.
Right. Ugh.
In the background. I think that might be 4 or 5. I forget. But he comes in and he's like, you know, he's dead and he's like missing the stone from his head. And I was like, so help me, Wanda, girl, you need help. No, no, don't do that. And then you find out that's not even what she did.
Yeah, she created a whole person out of herself, which is incredible. Which is powerful.
That makes me want to cry just thinking about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, Wanda, I'm crying thinking about you.
Oh, so sad. Yeah.
I hope. Okay. Where do you think it's going? So obviously she's in. I feel like we shouldn't go forward.
Right.
We didn't talk about the kids at all.
Right. So you have the kids who then at the very end of the series are calling out to her.
Yes.
For help. Which I think the kids are coming back.
That's what the Multiverse of Madness is going to be about, don't you think?
I don't know if it's going to be...
That's Doctor Strange.
That might be what motivates her to work with Doctor Strange. Because maybe that's where the kids are placed. Mm. Whatever she did, place the kids in that space. And I think that's probably what's going to happen.
I guess there must be a version of reality. Because now that we know about Loki and variants, right? How there's all these variants out there. There's a version of reality where they were born. So they're just in another place.
Could be. Actually, that could be the case.
Right?
That could be the case.
Maybe.
Because if you think about like Loki that we're watching right now.
Yeah.
He's
very...
Wait,
spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
You have not seen episode 3 of Loki yet.
Right.
So stop right now.
But if you have, you know kind of like about the variant that they're talking about, like where the variant starts. So it makes sense that the variant, there's no limit to how early or late a variant comes about. And so I can imagine, you know, there's a version that has Wanda and Vision, you know, going off maybe after Civil War and never coming back and doing their own thing, you know.
That's true.
And things working out. Like, there's always a version that they can come up with. And
where they don't go looking for the train.
Right, which is why I think Loki is so important. I think Loki is so clever in that it allows for things like that to happen. And I think WandaVision, you know, definitely it has to do with the multiverse. And definitely I think she's going to work with Doctor Strange because she's desperate to get her kids back. I think that's what's going to happen. Yeah. Very interesting, right?
I hate making too many predictions because I feel like often as fans, sometimes we sit here and we think about stuff so much.
Yeah,
that we don't enjoy the story that actually happened. And yeah. I felt that a lot with WandaVision because I think this series is so beautiful and so freaking good. Mm-hmm. But there were a lot of people out there who were criticizing it because they didn't get what they wanted. They were like, why didn't Magneto show up?
Right.
Like, why didn't Fantastic Four show up? Why didn't so-and-so show up? Like, they were getting like so mad. And I'm like, because it's not their show. Go away. Yeah. Like, stop it.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
And I'm like, what makes you think that that's going to happen? Even within the other Marvel movies, like, you don't have crossover like that.
Right.
You literally don't have crossover like right. that. Like, no one shows up in a Captain America movie yeah. besides the characters who were already there at the
beginning.
Part of
that, part of his world. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think it's okay to speculate. Like, I speculate all the time. Yes, I guess I agree. Stuff all the time. But I think you need to see it as that. I think. My prediction is, and have fun with it. If you're right, have fun, like, gloat in it, like, have a good time. If you're wrong, you're wrong. Just move on. Don't say there's something wrong with the show just because it didn't work out. And I think that's what happened with WandaVision a lot. A lot of creators whom I had to block, too, because they were getting nuts, was that they just started going in that headspace of saying there's something wrong with the show. Because there's no Mephisto, it's confusing. They start talking fancy and being like, well, the ending has this drop, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no. You're upset because it didn't go the way you wanted it to go. Was Doctor Strange didn't show up. Richards did not show up. That other person did not show up. Mephisto didn't show up. And you're upset because that didn't happen. You look dumb in front of your fans, but rather than saying, hey guys, I predict we have fun here. I think sometimes they have declared themselves as the ultimate authority, and because they were made to look dumb, they then want to discredit the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's sad. When it goes down that path, that's when I'm like, okay, that's not really healthy fandom, you know, and so kind of walk away from that.
Yeah. I think kind of the headspace that I need to be in because, yeah, I feel like I did get, like, sucked in a little bit with – I think, actually, you know where I really got sucked in? I feel like I got sucked in Infinity War. And since then, I've been like, no, you will never trick me ever again. And then I got a little tricked at the beginning of WandaVision again because all these people were sitting there like, Mephisto's going to show up. Like, they were so excited. Mm. And I was thinking about it. I was like – why are we treating these creators like they are like God. The authority? Like right. they don't work for Marvel.
Right.
They don't work for Disney.
Right.
Like they're not the authority. Like right. they are actually not the authority. Like no, actually these writers can do whatever they want. And a lot of them are not even going on any comic that exists for the most part. Like they pull from them, but none of them are like comic book accurate, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm like, I just got to this place where I was like, just get excited for what's coming. So these are the things that I'm excited about. Mm. I'm excited to see where Monica Rambeau goes. It's already confirmed that she's going to be in the Marvels.
Yeah.
Super pumped for that. Mm. I really like that actress. I like Brie Larson. And I think they have casted Ms. Marvel, correct?
Ms. Marvel, yes, she's young. Is the first... I think Pakistani.
Yes.
Actress to enter the frame. And I think
that's really cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Off of the Marvel Universe.
And she's going to have her own show. Disney Plus show.
I think so.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I know that's going to have a show first.
Yep.
So that's exciting.
Absolutely.
I'm exciting. I'm like super excited to see what happens with Wanda now as Scarlet Witch. Like she's.
Yeah.
She's like. She, like, more than just leveled up. Like, I don't know what happened. Like, she, like, skipped 10
I think
levels.
Doctor Strange is going to be insane.
Yeah, I think Doctor Strange is going to be wild. Yeah. And, like, I really hope that the kids come back because I actually got really attached to Billy and Tommy. I was not expecting, because I don't always love kid actors.
Mm.
But I like these two. I think they're cute. And I think they're funny.
Yeah, and that's my itty-bitty prediction is that it has something to do with the kids. Doctor Strange, or rather, might her, have something. Or rather, her motivations have to do with the kids in the show. That might be how they get, they make it make sense. The fact that she's involved in that, and so that like I'm excited. I mean, it might not be that. That's fine, but yeah, like, I'm excited to see her, you know, boss out and do her thing.
I'm also wondering if they're gonna do anything with oh my gosh, blanking on his name, Ralph. What's that actor?
Right, Evan. Ralph Boner. So possibilities, like, I mean, there are conversations about X-Men, right?
Yeah.
And just another prediction of mine, just thinking from a corporate perspective as well, is I think that's the biggest kept secret of that Marvel is holding right now. Is what they're going to do with X-Men. I feel like, I think they, like, I feel like Marvel is predictable. If you try and complicate too much and go like, ooh, there's this deep thought here and there, I think you get lost. Yes. I think they are testing the waters. So with Ralph Boner testing the waters with, Boner. I mean, like Boner, right?
I'm sorry, that part is so funny.
And the other piece was what they did with Black Panther, right? With Neho, I can't pronounce it properly, but basically them testing the waters with actors, right? Trying to see how people react. Like, I think they're really testing the waters to see where they really want to place everything. And I think that's the phase they're in. And I think that the next D23 that comes out, I think they're going to have some pretty awesome announcements for us. You know, I might be completely wrong, but you know, you wouldn't spend millions and millions of dollars
to
buy something and not use it.
And then
I don't think they're wasting money that way. I think they have a specific plan as to what they want to accomplish. And my mind is like at capacity of thinking of the awesomeness that's coming up. So. Yeah.
I'm just thinking about it. Right? You know what I have to, what I was just thinking about, this is kind of random off topic, but it's kind of on topic, is I think one of the other things I like about WandaVision is that it almost feels like we're back to the simplicity of some of the earlier, like, phase one movies. Do you know what I mean? Like,
kind
like
of.
Yeah. By simplicity, I mean, the world isn't ending.
Right, like, right, yes.
Like, we're not fighting a huge boss.
Right,
like,
right.
Like, we're at a very, like, single player v. single player. Like, we're literally doing Wanda and Agatha is trying to get her magic. Right. That's what's happening in this.
Right.
That's what's happening in this show. Right. While she's going through an emotional, like, growth process.
I agree with that. Yep, absolutely.
It's like, that's kind of where we were at the beginning of phase one. It's like, that's, you know, that was Thor, the original Thor. That's where Iron Man was. That's where Captain America was.
Yeah.
Like, we got these, like, nice moments to just grow with a character where there wasn't this, like end of the world, like, apocalypse that was happening.
I think so. You know? Yeah.
And I think that's what I really enjoyed about WandaVision. And then I felt the same way with Falcon Winter Soldier.
Right.
Although their stakes were higher.
Yeah.
I think, than Wanda's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really enjoy that about this. And I think that I like that they're after Endgame, they're kind of taking time to kind of reset. And they're like, okay, like, let's reset the players in the game.
Yeah.
Let's get to know them.
Yeah.
Like, let's get some emotional investment into these new players. Like, yes, we've lost some old, like, we've lost some of the ones before, and there's some people that were introduced at the end of last time.
Right.
Like, let's grow those relationships with those characters, and let's go from there.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's absolutely what they're doing, and I think it's smart, and it helps us rebuild and build up to the next phase, which I think is going to be much bigger than anything we've seen.
Oh, definitely.
We know that, you know, we know that the stone's a paperweight, and
right,
you know, and so basically they're just going like, whatever you know from before, scrap that, that's nothing. Whatever they faced before, scrap that, that's nothing. So, you know, you're going to need to see Falcon stepping up like never before. You're going to see Wanda stepping up like never before. It's just going to be like, powers and going Strange, out.
Ant-Man, right. Like, right. I can't wait for Ant-Man and the Wasp.
There's just so much. Yeah, there's just so much that's really good. Yeah.
I cannot wait for Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah, I think that's all going to be very good.
I'm a Wasp fan, yeah. So I'm excited. Yeah. What's that one? Quantumania.
Yes. Yeah, Quantumania.
That comes out after Eternals.
Yes. Yes. So I think it's going to be awesome. I think it's going to be...
We love Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah, they're doing such a great job. They're doing such a great job. So, mm-hmm. Awesome.
So, that's WandaVision.
That's WandaVision.
I have a million other thoughts, but... Yeah. But I don't think there's enough time for them.
Yeah. Yeah, we could talk all day about it. I'm super excited. Like, I think that's the most, like... I don't like to think about it too much because I'm impatient, so I'll start pushing myself ahead. But like,
we have Black Widow coming up.
Black Widow's coming up, and we have a bunch.
We're
of
seeing
stuff.
That in IMAX.
Yeah,
that was one of the cutest things Shalom has ever done for me. I was literally like sleeping. I wake up and he's like holding a phone in my face. And at first, like, I just woke up. So I was kind of like, what are you doing? And then I see what they are, and they're IMAX tickets.
IMAX tickets to Black Widow.
Honestly, with the pandemic, like, the thing that I've been missing the most is going to the movies. Like, I really just miss going to the movies.
Yeah.
So this is the first movie that we're going to be back at the movies.
That's true, yeah.
In over a year.
Yeah. It's going to be so much fun.
So I'm excited.
Can't wait to get that. Movie popcorn. Rock the movie popcorn. Popcorn dinner.
It's not healthy.
Nah, it's not. But.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you know, we're doing our thing. You know, you gotta have a cheat day once in a while. So, yeah, that's awesome. But this was such a great discussion. Mm-hmm. I think definitely leading forward with... As we discuss Marvel, I think that's going to be so much of this tapestry that we're just going to be bringing in. And I'm super excited.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So what are we doing next week?
We're doing Luca.
Luca. Surprise, surprise.
Oh, my gosh. Luca from Pixar. You can watch it on Disney+.
Yeah.
For free. They didn't even charge us for it.
Yeah.
It was just there. That cinematic beauty of Luca. I was like, I can't believe you didn't. Charge me for this.
Yeah, that water, like the foam from the ocean.
And the story is so cute.
Yeah.
The story is so sweet.
Insanely good, yeah. Insanely good.
I need to save it for next week, otherwise I'm going to start saying things that I shouldn't be saying right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We definitely are going to have a lot to talk about. A lot of good things to talk about. So. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on this nerdy journey.
We'll see you next week.